The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You are listening to I Am Refocused Radio with your host, Shamaya Reed. This show is designed to inspire you to live your purpose and regain your focus. And now, here's your host, Shamaya Reed.
Hey, welcome to I Am Refocused Radio, man. We are here today, man. We're going to have an amazing show all about loan acquisitions and secondary. It's all about AmeriNotes Exchange. And you can go to the website, AmeriNoteExchange.com, where we'll be talking to our guest today, the co-founder and senior management member and chief acquisitions officer at AmeriNote Exchange, the one and only Abby Shimish. And he's going to be telling us a little bit about the operations, all the hot topics that, you know, you can learn with the services with sell mortgage notes, business note, portfolio, and all that great stuff. So, man, first and foremost, Abby, I know you're busy, man. So thank you for your time. How are you doing?
I'm good, Shamaya. Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And man, you're no stranger to the platforms and publications. You've been on some of the heavy hitters, you know, Yahoo News, Yahoo Finance, and Realtor.com. You know, yes, about this hot topic. So when it comes to everything that you do at the company, AmeriNote Exchange, kind of explain to the audience the core values of the brand and what it all does.
Sure, absolutely. I greatly appreciate your asking that question, and I thank you for allowing me to be on your show. As far as AmeriNote Exchange, we are a loan acquisition firm that specializes in the acquisition and management of existing mortgage loans. So what does that mean? When a mortgage loan is created, someone walks into a bank or a lender and they want to borrow money to buy a piece of real estate. That is what we refer to as the primary mortgage market. That is the market of originations or lending, real simple. Once those loans are created, whether it's Wells Fargo or Mr. and Mrs. Smith down the street, the lender has the ability to take that loan to the secondary mortgage market and sell it. So where we operate, think of it like, you know, just to kind of simplify it, I don't know if a lot of your listeners are familiar, but I kind of grew up, you know, 14 lifetimes ago in the hospitality industry and restaurants. And, you know, think of it like this, right? So the primary mortgage market is the front of the house, right? And the secondary mortgage market is the back of the house. So that's where all the loans are traded between investors, between hedge funds, sovereign wealth funds, wealth funds and pension funds, all different types of players in the industry. And how the mortgage market works is the marriage and the combination of those two areas, the primary and the secondary.
And with this service, y'all have multiple services that you give to people.
Sure.
You have a background that is also in, is both residential and commercial mortgage loan. When someone is trying to find the best fit for what their needs are, is there a consulting process that you do to find out the best service that can best serve them?
That's correct. And just let me back up a couple steps here just to kind of give some clarity. We are a full service loan acquisition firm. So what that means is that we don't serve the entire community. And what I mean by that is there's only few, like the customers that we engage with or the client that we engage with are lenders, right? So again, when I said Wells Fargo, you know, or Mr. and Mrs. Smith down the street, I literally meant that. And how that works, and I'll just start with Mr. and Mrs. Smith down the street, right? So how that works, you have a property, you put that property on the market, especially now. Now's a perfect time to kind of use as an example. You put the property on the market for $200,000. And you find that the property is sitting there. It's sitting there. It's sitting there. You're getting no bites. You're getting a lot of tire kickers. You're finding that the realtor is like, look, you need to drop this price down to $150,000. And the sellers of the property refuse to do that. They want their price. You know, they'll wait as long as they have to. So it, 9 times out of 10, realtors will kind of, you know, back off and say, hey, this seller's not realistic. I'm going to go on and move on to another seller that is more realistic. And now there's something that is called owner financing, right? So that's when Mr. and Mrs. Smith put a sign in their front yard that says for sale by owner. They go ahead and they forego the realtor process and they say, we're going to go ahead and sell this themselves. And then they find that the economy is so stuck in the mud that even for sale by owner, it doesn't work. Now they have a lot of people approaching them and saying, hey, are you willing to finance us? Are you willing to seller finance? Are you willing to carry paper? These are all the same terms. And what that basically means is that instead of going to a bank, right? Let's say Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they own the property free and clear, or let's say they have like a five, you know, they only owe like $5,000 or $7,000 left on their mortgage. They're planning on paying off the mortgage once they sell the house. Well, now they have Mr. and Mrs. Jones that come along and say, hey, I'll give you your $200,000 price, but I want you to carry the paper. And what that means is Mr. and Mrs. Jones will give Mr. and Mrs. Smith $50,000 as a down payment. And then Mr. and Mrs. Smith act as the bank. And now for the next 30 years, they're collecting a more, you know, they go to a title company, they set up a mortgage, they set up a deed of trust or a mortgage deed, depending on the state that the property is located in. And now the Smiths are acting as a lender for the next 30 years. They're collecting, let's say, an 8% interest rate over 30 years. They got $50,000 as a down payment so they can pay off their, you know, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 mortgage, whatever it was. And now they have money coming in over the next 30 years and they're going to make a pretty decent profit on the interest if they continue to collect payments. So what happens at this point? They're a year, 2 years, 3 years into collecting payments, and they realize, hey, you know what? We can do a lot more with this money instead of having these monthly payments drip in over time. So what do? They do a Google search, you know, sell mortgage note or mortgage note buyer or something like that. And the first or second company that they'll see on a Google search is going to be a company like ours. And they can sell their exit. Let's say that they're owed $140,000. We will buy that $140,000 note for a particular price. And then they will assign that note to us. We will then give them a lump sum. We then, the loan will then transfer to us. And now we are collecting on that note for, or note and loan are the same term, but we're collecting on that loan for the next, you know, 29 and a half years or whatever it is. So it's very, very simple. I'm sure some of your listeners have seen or received in the mail a letter from, you know, one debt company to another saying, we just purchased your credit card debt, or your auto loan debt, or in some cases, your mortgage debt. Please start making payments to this website, this phone number, this address, you know, for the next payment and so forth. So that is what we do. We are a debt trader, a debt purchaser throughout all 50 states.
Oh, wow. All 50 states. So yeah, I know y'all are based in San Francisco, but that's awesome to know that you can listen. Anyone listening here in the United States can reach out to y'all and find out if they're a good fit. And what are some steps that they can take to make sure that they are ready to talk to a mirror note exchange?
Sure. So if someone, the first step is to understand if you're making a payment on a mortgage, that is something that we're not going to be able to help with, right? So if you're making a payment and you say, I don't want this mortgage anymore, that is not the area in which we deal in. And I'll explain that a little bit further. Your only option if you're making a payment on the mortgage is to go to a bank or a mortgage lender, refinance that debt, and pay off your lender, or put the property up for sale to get rid of that mortgage. So let's just be very clear. That's number one, first and foremost, to tell you, who we don't serve, because there could be some confusion there. Who we do serve are companies and individuals who are collecting monthly payments on a mortgage secured by a piece of real estate. So the first thing to understand is that when you bring these assets to market, when you're thinking about, hey, you know, I really need to sell the $100,000 on a mortgage debt and you're collecting payments on that, that $100,000 loan will not sell for $100,000. So the $100,000 loan will sell for there's many, many different circumstances that come into play here, but I can kind of touch on some of them. But the low end of what a $100,000 mortgage loan will sell for is about $65,000 or $70,000. On the high end, a $100,000 mortgage loan will sell for $95,000 or $97,000. So you can almost get full price for your mortgage debt, but it's going to depend on the characteristics of the debt that you're selling in order to determine what that will sell for. So you should be prepared, to answer your question directly, that you're not going to get 100 cents on the dollar, right? Because it's kind of like, I don't know if some of your listeners or yourself, Shamayo, you maybe bought or sold physical gold. And if you go into a location that sells physical gold or buys physical gold, if you have an ounce of gold that you sell, they're not going to give you 100 cents on the dollar on that. But if you go into that same store and say, hey, I want to buy an ounce of physical gold, and you just did a Google search before you went to the store and you see physical gold is $1,800 an ounce, they're going to charge you like $2,000. And you're going to say, well, wait a second now. Why am I paying more than what the actual gold price is saying it is? That is called spot price. And the discount or the increase is a premium that's paid for the liquidity, because mortgage loans and real estate are just illiquid assets. So you're never really going to get 100 cents on the dollar. You'll get pretty close if the loan is structured correctly. But that's the first thing you should be prepared for. Another thing that one should be prepared for is that they are, it's not instant, right? It's not like selling a stock where you hit a button and, or a Bitcoin, and you just sell and the money appears in your account. Because as I mentioned, it is an illiquid market. It's going to be the same type of process that would occur if someone were to walk into a bank and buy a piece of real estate. It's not necessarily identical, but it's the same time frame, right? So about 3 to 4 weeks, there's going to be some underwriting, there's going to be an appraisal, there's going to be a title report. We pay for all of that, right? So that's on us. And we're basically reverse engineering the mortgage loan, right? So that's basically how it kind of plays out. But I hope that's a little bit of insight there to the question. And please let me know if you need me to expand.
Yeah, I mean, someone who's listening and they're learning about Amerinote Exchange, like I like what you said about this is geared towards those who are collecting monthly payments. Is, you know, it's a difference between, you know, one side and the other. For someone who needs to know more about like mortgage deeds versus deeds of trust, can you kind of expand on what those two things are and what's the difference?
Sure. That is a great question. So a mortgage deed is the actual document identifying that a person or entity owns a piece of property as a property owner, or a you're going to be reflected as the actual property owner on a title report. Whereas a deed of trust is a lien holder instrument. What does that mean, right? So a deed reflects that you are a property owner. A deed of trust, where there's a trustee involved, is an instrument that is created that is a result of a loan being created. So as a deed owner, I am set. Let's say I own a property free and clear, and I have the deed in my hand, and along comes a buyer, and they let's just assume that we are not using any banks, right? Which is going to become more and more prevalent in this economic landscape, which we can kind of touch on if you so desire. But they, you know, let's say we're not using any banks, and I go ahead and I create with another mutual party, the buyer of the property. I sell the property to a person. This person then gives me a down payment. We go to a title company or an attorney's office. We are going to put several pieces of documents into place to make it legal. And what those documents are is a promissory note or a promise to pay. That promissory note is then going to be tethered or secured by the real estate. Well, how do you do that? Depending on the state that you're in. Now, in Texas, you would use, where you're located, you would use a deed of trust, whereby in, say, Florida or California, California is also a deed of trust state, but let's say Florida, where our production office is, they use mortgages, just like New York or Pennsylvania or New Jersey. So they'll use mortgages. It's called a mortgage state. Typically the same thing. You know, in essence, it secures the property. So what's the difference? When you have a promissory note, the promissory note will describe, I, you know, the buyer of this property will, oh, I'm borrowing $260. It's not really borrowing. What you're doing is you're lending the equity in your property. You're not, I'm not physically lending this person money, but I'm lending the equity in my property to this person. And then in exchange for that loan, he or she's going to pay me back over time with interest. So I, the buyer of this property, owe $260,000 over the next 30 years at 5% interest rate. If I cannot or I'm willing to pay, this is what happens. This, we're going to go by the laws of this state. This is the default clause. This is the legal venue. It describes all of the terms of the loan and how the loan is remedied in the case of default and what legal venue, meaning what state, what court we're going to carry out a default in. So that's all identified in a promissory note. Very simple. Attached to that promissory note, to give it teeth, right, so to speak, you're going to secure that note by a piece of property. Now, in order to legally secure a piece of property to a promissory note, there has to be something called a security instrument, which is a fancy term for a security agreement, which in certain states are called a deed of trust. In other states are called a mortgage. In states like New Mexico, it's just called a real estate contract and it's all one document. So it really depends. In Michigan, it's called a land contract, which is kind of a little bit different. But the long and the short of it is a deed of trust. If you pull a title report on someone, and if I'm a property owner, there will be no deed of trust. You'll just see that Abby Shemesh owns a deed. But if Abby Shemesh sells a property to Shemaya, and then someone pulls a title report on that property, they're going to see that Shemaya is the property owner, but Abby Shemesh is the lien holder. And that is how we tether a promissory note to a security instrument like a deed of trust so that the payments come in. And if they do not come in, we have legal resolution through something called a foreclosure process. And every state has a foreclosure process to remedy a default, and that it's pretty uniformed kind of system that's put in place for the non-payment of a mortgage loan. So that's really the difference between a deed and a deed of trust is one is for the actual property, and one is to be tethered to a loan to show a lien on a property.
And someone listening right now, are there any other additional costs and fees when someone is preparing to sell a note? And if so, how is that being addressed as well?
Sure. No, it's a very good question. So if you do a Google search and you are collecting payments on a mortgage loan, let's say for a property you sold, or you know, maybe you inherited the note from a deceased relative or something to that effect, and you do a Google search, sell mortgage note buyer, something like this, you're going to see some companies come up. The majority of those companies that come up are included in that, actually being usually at the top of the list there. You're going to find that those companies do not charge any fees for any note to be purchased because we are buying it. So typically, I will say a Marinote exchange The offer that we make you is the offer that you're going to receive. There is never any costs or really any commissions that need to be paid to us, at the time of funding. As far as the costs that may be incurred to someone who's thinking about doing this is in the creation of the mortgage note. Well, let's say that, you go back to the traditional example is where you're seller financing or owner financing a property, and you realize that you found a buyer, and now the buyer is asking you to collect the payments over the next 20, 15, 20, 30 years. So you're going to go to a title company or an attorney's office, just like Wells Fargo or Bank of America would do typically, or any other lender. And you would just really ask them, hey, we're going to seller finance this property. We need to put a mortgage note into place. We need to put a deed of trust into place. And I'd like to get lender's title insurance, which I can kind of get into what that is, but you should definitely get that. And that there will be a cost if you are going to structure a note that you're going to start collecting on. Now, whether those costs are paid by the seller of the property or the buyer of the property or both of you can be negotiated in the property sale. Like some sellers may say, hey, I'll carry your paper and I'll act as the bank so you don't have to go to Wells Fargo and go under the microscope for 3.5, 4.5, 5.5 weeks to go through an underwriting process. But I am not paying one penny towards a closing cost. You got to pay everything. And that may be a fair ask on, from a buyer who is saving a lot of headache by not having to go to a bank. So it's really going to be contingent on the structure of the sale. But if you're coming to us to sell an existing mortgage note, there is absolutely zero fees whatsoever that are going to be paid out of your pocket, the note seller. Everything is going to be paid by us.
Once again, listen on Refocus Radio, talking to our guest, Abby Shimmis, and he is a part of Amerit Note Exchange. You mentioned title insurance. What exactly will title insurance cover and protect?
Sure. So lender's title insurance, there's several types of insurance when you engage in a property, right? So obviously everyone knows you have to have homeowner's insurance. Homeowner's insurance protects the lender and the borrower. God forbid if something happens, the property catches on fire, there's a storm, a hurricane, Lord knows we are experiencing this stuff on a day-to-day basis. The homeowner's insurance covers. Now, what's title insurance? Well, why would I need that? So when you buy a property, or you sell a property, or if you're a lender on a property, whether that be Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of the West, or again, Mr. and Mrs. Smith down the street, what a lender's policy does is when you pull a title report, you see if there's any existing liens, mechanic liens, water and sewer liens, medical bills that follow people around. Oh, you haven't paid your medical bill? Boom, we're going to slap a lien on your property. I'm sure once or more in people's lifetimes, they either heard about this or have experienced this firsthand. When you buy that property, you want the, not only do you want a clean bill of health from an appraiser or an inspector saying, oh, we inspected your house, there's no termites, the roof looks good, blah, blah, blah. But you also want a clean bill of health on the title search. You want to make sure there's no weird liens following this property around that have been missed by other people. Because let's be honest, title companies are filled with human beings that make mistakes, by accident or not. And a title insurance policy is as follows. You have a title company, they do a title search, they go back X amount of years, excuse me, it can be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, however it plays out, there's different options. And then they complete the title search and they go, okay, we swear to God that there is no title issues. And we're so certain that there's no title issues that we're going to issue an insurance policy. It's a one-time payment. And now if you pay us this one-time payment of X, it can be $400, it can be $3,000, depending on the loan size and where in the country it is. Unfortunately, Texas is a higher dollar price for title insurance, But we swear to God that we went through all the title here and we're so certain that there's nothing there that we're going to give you $1 million policy. So if anything pops up ever from this day forward, this policy will cover any liens that we missed. And I'll give you an example. We had a real world example here on a New Jersey commercial property. We had this, he was kind of like a hotshot Wall Street guy that came to us and he said, oh, I want to sell this loan. And, you know, we got involved on the processing of this. And he was, you know, really certain that he, you know, was going to get top dollar. And we, you know, we were in a competition with other companies as usual. And we did our very best to get it under agreement, which we did. And we were paying top dollar for this because it was definitely a good loan. It was in a prime location pre-COVID, but prime location, Manhattan area, just outside. And in our research, Mr. Hotshot missed that he had a $32,000 sewer lien on the property because he failed to get title insurance. He thought that he didn't need it. He didn't want to spend the extra $1,700. And I'm saying it as passionately as I am because it was a lot of, it was our own learning experience where we were, you know, trying to accommodate the seller to move quickly. And that's how mistakes are made in our business is when there's a shotgun wedding, so to speak, mistakes are made. So that's why, you know, that was a big learning experience for our processing team, regardless how, and I'll use the term sexy, the property is and how sexy the note is. You just never know. You just never know. So that's why title insurance is so important. It gives you a clean bill of health on title, and it ensures that if a human being missed anything at the title company, that you have insurance protecting you from that debt, fraud included.
Once again, man, we're talking to our guest today, Abby Shimish, and he is part of AmeriNote Exchange. You go to the website, AmeriNoteExchange.com. And you also have on your website, you have a blog where people can kind of look at numerous topics that we kind of touched on today. And someone who is not ready to do this yet, but maybe they're like young people, if you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, what tips we have for someone who's listening to this who may not be in that position to do something like this, but can gain some knowledge from this so that in the future they'll be better prepared?
I'm going to give, I'm going to give some gold here. I hope that's the case. I don't mean to be cocky, but I feel that this is going to be a very good thing to keep an eye on going forward. Right now, we are in unique times financially. We are finishing up an era of 80 years in our debt, financial debt money system, whereby there's going to be, like, a lot of the younger listeners may only be aware, like, you know, if you were really coming of age in the late 2000s, you know, and you've seen the whole tech boom and the real estate boom coming through over the past 14 years, where, you know, you just throw a stone and people were trying to outbid each other by hundreds of thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars on properties. And some of the younger folks are like, how the heck am I going to afford a property? How am I going to do this? The key is in the identification of the property that you're looking for. It is through seller financing. So my advice, first and foremost, especially if you're trying to acquire real estate, whether you're trying to acquire it for the acquisition to kind of live in the real estate, or if you want to buy it to rent the real estate, or if you want to live in it a little bit and then maybe rent it out later and then hopscotch to your next piece of real estate, that's a great way to build a portfolio. And right now, we are moving into very unique times that a lot of people haven't seen since probably, I would say, the late 90s, at least 23 years. And what I'm talking about here is seller financing. So if you are, and I'll give you a perfect example right now, Texas, one of the hottest markets out there, Florida, another hot market out there, but Texas is the mecca for seller financing. I would say, 65% of the loans that we get are from Texas, and a lot of them don't involve a bank, which means you don't necessarily have to walk into a bank to borrow money to buy real estate. Really, what you're looking for is you're looking for properties that have been on the market for months and months and months, whether you do that through Zillow or you get a realtor and you say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Realtor, I'm trying to target properties that have just been hanging out there that aren't moving and they're just not going anywhere, but they're not lowering their price. This usually indicates people who are just waiting for someone to come along and give them their price. Well, I would recommend that you look for those properties and you get, assuming that you can afford the monthly payment, you give them their price in exchange for them giving you terms. And what's that mean? That means that they seller finance the property to you. Of course, that means you have a down payment that you would have to turn over to them, but that down payment could be negotiable. Like if you were to walk into a bank would say, look, you need to give us 20% down and you need to show us your W-2s and you need to, you know, chop off your right arm and you need to cut off your pinky toe. And, you know, like all of these crazy things whereby if you go to directly to a seller, maybe not even have a realtor involved, right? Or you use the realtor that you're working with and you say, I have 5% down. I have 7% down. I have 10% down. I'll pay you the $200,000, the $350,000 that you're asking for, but I want a 4% interest rate. I'm only going to give you 5% down and I want a 30-year amortization. And you're like, okay, well, I can afford a $900 payment a month for the next 30 years. And just like that, you know, I'm oversimplifying, but just like that, you may very well find a person who's going, you know what? I don't really need to sell this property. What I'm planning on doing is when I sell this property, I'm just going to put the money in the bank and the bank's only paying me less than 1% interest to earn my money. Maybe I can put it in a money market and get 2%, but this guy or this gal here is going to give me 4% or 5%. So it's just like, okay, that's my retirement account. So that may make a lot of sense for them to do that. Don't believe everything you hear out there in media land where you need this amount of money and you need this, you need to do this in order to have this. There are tons of people out there who have their properties just sitting there for months and months and months. And the big question is, okay, well, why is that property sitting there? Oh, they want their price? Great. Are they willing to carry paper? Fantastic. If those two things are met, then you can start the negotiation process with a seller like that. And you can probably get that property just by simple negotiation. And your goal as a property purchaser is to get the lowest interest rate possible with the lowest down payment possible for the longest amount of time possible. And if you can achieve all three of those goals and solve the issues of the person who's selling the property, that is a true definition of win-win. And that would allow you to completely circumvent the banking industry and all of the acrobatics that go into it.
Once again, we're talking to our guest today, Abby Shimas, the co-founder and senior managing member and chief acquisitions officer at AmeriNote Exchange. You can go to AmeriNoteExchange.com. Man, once again, I mean, y'all based in San Francisco, California, but like you mentioned earlier in the show, you can service anyone in the nation. So, man, appreciate your time talking to us today. It was a great call to action for someone who heard the show and they are ready to talk to your people.
Sure. I really appreciate you inviting us on and I thank you for the platform and the time.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.